A stranger with a gun came upon two teens taking pictures under a rising full moon. But violence is only the beginning of this story.
Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and I've spent my career talking about how lives are undone by violence. The Letter is a podcast about how lives are remade. Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Brialso Lake puts this game away!
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great.
14 unanswered by the Utes.
University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care to be great.
You're locked on to Hans Olsen and Scotty Chin.
That's right, yeah!
On 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
On the line. Did you make JJ listen to that? Lloyd.
Oh, you know what? I brought him on, by the way. He's like, well, at least it's not the Raiders. I feel like we need to unite the clans. Unite the clans.
Well, I mean, look, the one thing that should be bringing Broncos and Raiders together should be a equal hatred for the Chiefs.
Exactly.
And a love for the Eagles coming up.
Come on,
here in the
JJ,
next couple
unite
weeks.
The clans.
Jeremiah Jensen joins us now.
This week, all about the Eagles. Absolutely.
Fly, Eagles, fly. Let's go.
100%.
I can't.
Although it was kind of, I don't know. The Bengals were kind of jabronis, so it's funny. They've stunk for three decades, and then all of a sudden they act like they run the league. So it was kind of nice to see the Chiefs put them in their place and send those jabronis back to Cincy.
Well, Lloyd and I were talking about this in the first segment. It's just there's certain things you don't do, and before a game, you don't go and have your defense. I don't remember what defensive back did it, but a couple guys going, yeah, we're going to Burrowhead Stadium. You say that after the game. You don't say that before the game, and then the mayor pipes in and makes his stupid DNA joke, and it's just like, hey, guys, like, what are you doing? This isn't a smart thing to do here. This is dumb.
You don't poke the bear. You don't poke Andy Reid. So they did that, and they paid a price. Although, I mean, it was a game of inches. I mean, one play here, there, and if we're putting a lot on Osai, but you know, if that 15-yard penalty doesn't happen, I don't think they get a field goal off. And who knows what happens in overtime?
No.
So it wasn't like the Chiefs handed it to them. You know what I mean? They sure acted like they did after the game. I mean, Kelce acts like they were dominating the game. It was one play that really made the difference in that game, and it was entertaining. Not well played all the time, but it was definitely entertaining.
All right, so I did not see if you tweeted about this, so I'm going into this answer or this question not knowing what your answer is going to be. I'm not saying there's a conspiracy theory, and the hit out of bounds was a hit out of bounds. Like, I'm not arguing that. That was the right call to make. He got hit out of bounds. But there were a lot of calls that should have gone against Kansas City that did not go Cincinnati's way. And I'm kind of wondering where your thoughts are, because that officiating, I wasn't too keen on how that game was officiated yesterday.
You're giving too much credit to the officials. You think they were intelligent enough to come up with a conspiracy. Come on now. They just didn't know. That's just pure incompetence. I mean, and there was a little bit, there were some issues in the Eagles 49ers game as well. I think that there are some issues with NFL officiating, and you get on that big stage and it becomes magnified. I just saw the ratings this morning. I mean, 60% of Utahns yesterday watched those games. Massive, massive ratings. And imagine how big that is in other markets. I mean, the NFL is king, so there's a lot of eyeballs on these games, and there's going to be a lot of scrutiny, and the officials weren't great. They were not great. That extra down the Chiefs got, that can't happen.
No.
So, of course, that's going to feed the fire. And, of course, we already believe some of these things. And sometimes it's like, man, the NFL's got a little WWE to it. And Travis Kelce didn't help that after the game.
Yeah.
But it does have a WWE feel to it sometimes. And, you know, do they manipulate some things? I don't think so. But they put themselves in these positions with some incompetence or bad decisions PR-wise that allow the conspiracy theories to happen. So I'm watching, just like you, Scott, I'm watching the game like, what's going on here? Why are the – I mean, these are some things going the Chiefs' way that shouldn't – it's not like they need help, right? So if I'm a Cincy fan, I probably woke up this morning pretty angry and irritated, but I just lend it to the incompetence and some of the issues with the officiating. Not that they were smart enough to come up with some kind of crazy conspiracy, like the commissioner's on the phone and he's buzzing down. I don't really know. No way.
Doesn't have like a Buffalo Wild Wing like pager.
Yeah.
Just starts like, hey.
he's got a little lever up in a press box there, up in the suite up there. No, there's no magic lever up there to get a call to go his way.
It just and you're right too. The Philadelphia game earlier, and granted, you know, when Brock Purdy went out with the injury and then had to come back in, you knew San Francisco wasn't going to come back and win that game.
Yeah,
but still, it just and look, I'll admit I'm a little biased because I don't want anything good to happen to Kansas City, so I'll own that one. But the Niners and the Eagles, I got no dog in that fight. I just wanted a good game. I have, you know, we're not like my boss Nate. I don't care one way or another on that game. But that one really early felt like it was leaning heavy Philly. And it just was like, oh, man, this has a weird vibe to it.
Yeah, Scotty, I went into that game picking since San Francisco because I felt like they had enough offensive weapons. And I didn't quite trust what Philly had offensively, and I was so terribly wrong. But where I was really wrong is I didn't really give that Philly defense enough credit for how dominant they are. And this is why I think they're going to win the Super Bowl. That defensive front had 70-plus sacks this season. Only the fourth time in NFL history a team has had 70 or more sacks in a season. That Eagles front is nasty. They're vicious. And they took Brock Purdy out of the game early. The game was over the second that sack was made.
Yeah,
that was the difference. And of everything I watched this weekend, the thing that stood out to me was how dominant that front four of the Eagles is. And I think that's going to be the difference in 2 weeks from now. Mm.
You fired up for this one? You looking forward to this game?
I kind of am. Because the Chiefs, you know, like you, I share a hatred for the Chiefs. I mean, Scotty, it's not even a hatred anymore. It's become a jealousy. I hate to admit that.
Oh, I'll own that. Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, my gosh. I mean, they are what the Broncos used to be, and it ticks me off because the Broncos could still be that because of mismanagement. They're not. But the Chiefs have become what the Broncos were. They've got the great quarterback, the great offense, and a solid defense, and I respect the heck out of what the Chiefs are right now. But I still am a Broncos fan. I want to see them get buried. And there's just a little bit of it. They're in there every year. And the Eagles are kind of a fresh new story. Jalen Hurts is a great story. If you love stories of a quarterback overcoming all kinds of adversity, look at Jalen Hurts' story, getting benched at Alabama for a freshman. All the things that he had to overcome. He had to fight and claw and scratch for a job in the NFL. Here he is, one win away from winning a Super Bowl. He might be the MVP of the league. So there's a great story there. I mean, the Eagles came from kind of nowhere the last 2 years. I know they won the Super Bowl 5 years ago, and some of those guys are still there. But it's just a fresh new story. So the Eagles kind of have my attention, and I'm looking at them as a team I'd like to see win it. But I really do have to admit that I respect the excellence of the Chiefs. Making the AFC Championship game 5 straight years and getting to the Super Bowl 3 times during that span is pretty darn good.
All right, so Lloyd, I want you to jump in on this as a Raiders fan, JJ and I as Broncos fans. Would you rather Kansas City lose, but yet everything stays in place, or Kansas City wins, but it does mean Andy Reid retires and goes away and maybe that team takes a step back? What would you go with?
Well, Chiefs win.
Yeah,
Chiefs win.
Me too.
Yeah, I mean, Andy Reid, look, I mean, I love Andy Reid. Again, the respect. It's crazy how he didn't get enough respect over this. You look back now, what he did, he's been to 10 conference championship games, 5 with 2 different teams. So very few coaches can say that. He just wins football games, and you talk to players that play for him, and they just love him. To be able to have the respect of the players and get a team to be disciplined and to get them to achieve that kind of excellence, that's what you want in a head coach. He's a Hall of Famer, and he needs to be celebrated as such. So as a Broncos fan, I want Andy to retire and go eat 1,000 cheeseburgers and enjoy the rest of his life. He's earned it. It's time for change for me. But the thing about Andy is that why leave now? They're still on top. Mahomes is still in his mid-20s. They're not going anywhere.
No.
They're loaded, and if they can find a good, solid replacement for Tyreek Hill, I think they took a step backwards offensively a little bit this year. If they can find another star receiver, they're going to be they'll still be good for another 5 years. Kelsey's not going anywhere either.
Get him out of there. I need him to go on. I need the Chiefs to go through some like a coaching carousel of what I've been through for like the last 20 years. I need him just to get out.
Lloyd, I even feel sorry for the Raiders and their coaching crisis. My goodness. How many coaches can they go through? And now, we Broncos fans know exactly what you're going through right now. I don't understand that hire at all. So, yeah, the Raiders have suffered with coaching issues for many years. So I get your pain. I really do.
Hey, a couple other items I want to touch on. Kind of a shotgun approach to the interview here because there's a bunch of different topics. But Jazz are now 26-26 on the season. Fun game against Dallas. Should we be grumpy that they're not winning more? Should we be grumpy that they're not winning less? Because this is kind of no man's land when you're sitting at 500, and it's been a fun season. I don't want to take away from the entertainment value because this team is fun to watch. They're crazy likable. There's a lot to really enjoy. But in terms of long-term value for this team, you're not getting a lot based on a 26-26 season.
Yeah, it's a weird place to be in, Scotty, and I don't think we thought they'd be in this place, so it's kind of hard to process it. So we went through these weird, I guess you'd call it a little bit of a roller coaster this year. The 10-3 start had us thinking, oh my goodness, these guys are actually really good. They're going to be a playoff team. So we kind of changed our expectations of the team, and then they went through that really bad stretch. And then you went back thinking, oh, wow, this is what they really are, and they're regressing back to the mean. But now the schedule's evened out. They're right there in the mix. I think they're one game out of fifth. I mean, they're right there, but then they're like two games out of 12. So, you know, where do you want them to be? What's the best for this franchise long term? And I think maybe the trade deadline will answer that question for us. If they move some bodies, I think that'll give us an indication. I mean, that's coming up here pretty quick. I think a week from Thursday, right?
So, yeah.
I think that's going to answer a lot of our questions about what this roster is going to be after that. But yeah, it's just really weird. It's just kind of been a fun, interesting ride. Every game they play in is fun. They've had all these great finishes and really, really intriguing games. And I think this team's created more memories this year than last year's team did by a mile, which says a lot about the team. So, but again, you're like, where is this really going? What is this 25-25 season? Or if they finish 42-40 or something like that, and maybe they get like in a play-in situation, how does that benefit the franchise long-term? I think the one thing it does benefit, Scotty, is that you maintain a culture of excellence as far as trying to pursue winning. Obviously, they had everything to gain by stinking this year, and instead they were fine to just let this team achieve what it was capable of achieving instead of trying to purposely tank, and I respect that, and I think that's the right way to go about it. But there's some really, really good players available in this lottery, franchise-changing players, that if they miss out on it, feels like a missed opportunity. So I get how difficult this is for Danny Ainge and for Justin Zanuck and for Will Hardy to manage this, because it's kind of, you know, unless you're really in the top, you want to be down in that bottom mix. Being in the middle is rough, but this is what they are and this is where they're at. So you don't want them to bottom out like some teams. That doesn't automatically gain you anything either.
So when you look at this team, and obviously Lauri Markkanen has been absolutely special. Walker Kessler looks like the Jazz have hit on that, because, you know, I go back to when the Rudy Gobert trade went down. My thought, you know, Hans and I are sitting here. We're like, oh, that's a first. That's another first. That's a pick swap. Oh, this guy named Kessler. Okay, whatever. That's a first round pick. So I guess that counts as another first. But we never really anticipated much out of him as a player. But my goodness, you may have a cornerstone that you just hit on in that trade that nobody really thought much of when that trade happened.
Absolutely. I mean, if Lauri Markkanen is an all-star, he's only, 25? he's just hitting his stride.
Yeah.
So if he's an all-star, you found an all-star for an all-star. You traded Donovan Mitchell for Lauri Markkanen, and you got all the picks. And you got Ochai Agbaji as well, by the way, who we need to mention, who I believe is somebody you could pencil in as part of a core moving forward, a 3-and-D guy that makes you a really good basketball team. I think he's got a high ceiling. So you say those three pieces are what you really discovered this year. Well, then maybe that offsets the idea that, okay, because you're all automatically thinking, right, if you don't get Wembanyama, who's a generational talent, you don't get that number one overall pick, then you missed. Well, that's not necessarily true. I mean, you look at what the Celtics have been able to build. You look at what the successful teams. I mean, the Denver Nuggets are in first place in the West, and Jokic was a second-round pick. You don't have to have the number one overall pick to be a contender, to find your path to number one. What if they have these three foundational guys and they're able to strike gold with one of those many lottery picks they have? Not the most conventional, like picking a LeBron James number one overall, but at least you can build that team that you can move forward with and have a chance to contend later on. If finding Lauri Markkanen and Walker Kessler and Ochai Agbaji and getting all those picks was the path that you took this way, then I think you accept this season no matter what the record is, and you're fine with that moving forward.
And plus, it's just a fun team to watch. I mean, it's a fun team to cover. I'm sure, as you cover this team, it's just Will Hardy's brought a new. And again, when I say this stuff, it makes it sound like we're dogging on the predecessors. But, you know, Quinn Snyder was a different personality, and Will Hardy's got his own that's a little bit more, I don't know, endearing. And you've got players that are just genuinely more interesting, and it's just kind of a breath of fresh air, I guess I should say, because it's not a knock on Rudy, it's not a knock on Donovan and the old crew. It's just, it had ran its course, and it was time for a change, and change is not easy, but I think it's welcome to this point.
Well, what Jordan Clarkson said earlier in the season, he called it the good vibe. I mean, it really is a good vibe. Everything at the franchise right now is just a different vibe, and this is an entertainment business, right? So we should be entertained. Last year was not entertaining, so they had to change it. They had to rework it. Something had to happen. I think we all agreed with that at the end of last season. We had no idea it was going to turn out to be this, but I give them credit, Brian Smith, Danny Ainge, Justin Zanuck, for recognizing what it was and going to work this offseason and making extremely difficult decisions, trading a three-time defensive player of the year who was beloved here by fans and wanted to retire here is not easy to do, and they did it, and they scored big because of it. They rolled the dice, they took a gamble, and it paid off big. Trading Donovan Mitchell, who is just unbelievable. I mean, it's really hard watching him play for Cleveland thinking, man, that should have been with the Jazz, but it was a decision that had to be made. It was another tough decision. What did they get out of that? They got Lauri Markkanen, Ochai Agbaji, who it may be a beneficial thing for the Jazz long-term because Donovan wasn't going to stay here. So, and then you get the picks as well. So they made tough decisions that they had to make, and I give them credit for that. I mean, I would roast them if they made bad decisions or were too conservative. I have to give them credit for making the right moves this offseason and being willing to do the bold thing. Fortune favors the bold, and so far the moves they made in the offseason has really paid off for them. As painful as it is to see Donovan Mitchell score 70 in a game for another team, it was the right move.
You concerned about the BYU basketball team going into the Big 12 when this team, as currently constituted, just isn't particularly good right now?
Very, very concerned. That Big 12, I mean, look what Oklahoma did to Alabama this week, and Oklahoma's at the bottom of the Big 12. I mean, Texas Tech is the last place team in the Big 12, and I'm sure they beat BYU by 20 right now. So BYU going into the Big 12 is going to be rough. What they have to do, and I'm sure, and Mark Pope knows this, and everybody down there knows this, is they have to have an infusion of talent. They have, I like Dallin Hall, that's kind of where you start with your foundation, but you've got to go find guys around him that can play. And, you know, moving to the Big 12, we've seen with the transfer portal, with everything else, you can build a roster pretty quick. They got to get to work in the offseason, because if they roll this back next year, it's going to be a bloodbath.
Yeah,
they recognize that. They understand that. And I think I'm sure it's frustrating for BYU fans to see a BYU team that's kind of in the middle of the pack of the West Coast Conference, and you see them, you know, lose these heartbreakers at Gonzaga and St. Mary's. But BYU should have been better during the West Coast Conference era. I really believe that, and they've fallen short of where they should have been. It's been disappointing, and it's hard to believe that they're going to be able to find success in the Big 12. But, you know, that transition's going to be rough. I think it really is. But they recognize that, and we'll see if they can find some players. Just going into the Big 12, I think, is going to get the attention of a lot of recruits in the offseason, a chance for somebody to come in there immediately and play in that league and get attention against some of those great teams. They'll have the opportunities to find guys to upgrade that roster in the offseason. If they don't, then yes, Scotty, it's going to be ugly. I mean, really ugly next year. The team would not fare well in the Big 12 at all.
JJ, you're the best, man. We appreciate it. Thanks for joining us. It takes a village when Hans is gone, so thanks for helping us out.
Anytime. Love being on the show, Scotty. You're the best. We'll do it again soon.
You got it.
You jabroni!
Boy.
Be good, JJ.
You calling me a jabroni, Lloyd?
No, he
was
would not.
Was directed at me?
No, he would not do that. Lloyd, right? Right, Lloyd?
I don't.
You get it.
I don't trust a Raider fan.
That's true.
I will end with that.
Yep. Truer words have never been spoken. There you go. Jeremiah Jensen. Of course, you can catch him on right here on Channel 5 KSL. 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone. Take a break. Come back. And Thurl Bailey will join us straight ahead right here on The Zone.
This is DJ and PK.
Lincoln Kennedy, Raider radio analyst. What do you think of that concept of guys who are primarily college coaches being able to succeed in the NFL?
Urban Meyer and Chip Kelly are guys that come to mind. When Chip Kelly went to Philadelphia, one of the things I made jokes of is that he took away Taco Tuesday. I'm like, I'm a grown-ass man. You can't take away Taco Tuesday. In regards to Shaw, you know, I have a fond relationship with David. You know, he coached with the Raiders when I was there, and I know him personally. I think he's a great guy. I think he's a great coach. But he's not a control monger. It's his strategy and his philosophy will work well on a National Football League level.
That was a good answer, but I think it still peaked at Taco Tuesday.
You can't take away Taco Tuesday.
I want Taco Tuesday to be a promo, Yacht. Can we make that happen? That was good.
Your wish is my command.
Catch DJ and PK mornings from 6 to 10. Presented by Murdoch Hyundai, Utah's number one Hyundai dealer for 16 years in a row. On 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
There's desperation and anguish.
More than 80,000 Afghans have since arrived in America. But this story is still unfolding. I'm Andrea Martin. In my new podcast, Stranger Becomes Neighbor, we'll find out what happens to these new arrivals in our communities. Who would help our newest neighbors? Follow us at KSLPodcast.com, Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen.
Looking for the latest on the Jazz, Utes, Cougars, and Aggies?
Yeah,
we've got you covered. This is Hans Olsen and Scotty G on 97.5, the Sports Zone.
Hans Olsen, Scott Gerard. Hans is out this week. Be back with us next Monday. A well-deserved little R&R for our guy. We don't do vacations often. So, but when they do, guy shuts it down. I don't know. Now it's time. Now I got to go the old revenge vacation on my part. We used to have some hosts that the revenge vacation's a real thing where all of a sudden you fill in for your guy, or, you know, your guy's gone. And so you spend a whole week putting shows together without him. And then he comes back. You're like, you know what? I'm taking a vacation too. I'm out.
It's a real thing. Left me. Now I'm leaving
you. Now I'm leaving you. You figure it out. Been gone all week. Nah, we don't do that on this show. By the way, Lloyd, I'm out the second week of February. So I thought I'd just let you know.
I'm sure you are.
Jazz, big one coming up. A few days off, too, and I think it's pretty it's going to be nice as the Jazz don't play until February 1st when they take on Toronto. You very rarely see three consecutive days off, but the Jazz are going to have that coming off that win against Dallas where they got the 108-100 victory. Thurl Bailey expected to join us coming up here in a moment, and we'll chat with him about that game. Jazz had the big lead. And then Dallas started to whittle away in the third quarter, got down to, I believe, 6 before the Jazz were able to right the ship and end up winning by 8, 108-100. But overall, though, good performance from the Jazz. What you would expect against a Dallas team that was shorthanded in that game. No Luka, and the Jazz were able to feast on it. Lauri Markkanen, who ended up with another big outing, 29 points, 14 from Clarkson and Kessler each. as Kessler had 14 points and 11 rebounds. Kind of a walking double-double now. But the Jazz get it done, 108-100. And to help break it down, the best in the business, not only does he know more about basketball than you do, he dresses better and he sings better than you do. It is the man, the myth, the legend, Thurl Bailey. Big T, how are you?
I'm doing good. You couldn't find like a warm place to go, like the Bahamas?
I should have, huh? Yeah. I was in San Diego last week, but it was work. You know, we're calling games. Utah State played San Diego State and Fresno State, so at least yeah. I was in some warm weathers, but
somebody's got to work.
I know, right? Got to keep it going. Hey, you enjoy this 3 days off, though? That's got to be nice to kind of decompress a little bit after a stretch of games.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it sounds like I'm a player, but I know how nice it is for the players to be able to have that time off. And I think when you look at how loaded the beginning of the season was with road games, and now you get kind of a home stand and some days off, it really balances out. But it's a good time for the Jazz as they kind of creep up on another break, which is All-Star weekend. But yeah, it's nice to have, even as a broadcaster, nice to have some time off.
You know, it's interesting too, because when you played, were they chartering, or were you still guys flying commercial at that time?
Sort of both. I commercial most of my Jazz career, and then when I was traded to Minnesota, we were all charter, and I came back to play with the Jazz my last year. We were mostly charter. I think we chartered the East Coast swings, but we still flew Delta on some of the closer trips. So, yeah, I got to experience all of it, man.
Was that is the rumor true that John and Carl went to Larry and said, hey, if you want us to win and win at a high level, you got to do this for us?
True.
Had to happen, man.
Yeah, it did. Of course. I mean, and it was, you know, the Jazz were one of the last teams to really get on board with it, totally. And, you know, those were the guys with the power. They deserved it. And you saw, you know, the longevity of both their careers. So definitely a great move.
So there's a few things that we haven't had a chance to chat about that I wanted to pick your brain on. At what point in watching Walker Kessler did you start to realize that this kid has a chance to be really special?
Well, it's interesting because I'm going to jump back to that answer, but I actually said that early in Rudy Gobert's career to David Locke, and David looked at me like I was nuts.
he'll never admit to that, but that's awesome.
I think he would now. I think he really would.
Good.
But, you know, I could see, as a big myself and knowing kind of the big, how the development of bigs come, and also the trend of the NBA and what bigs aren't going to be doing and what they need to learn how to do better. I think it was probably, first of all, he's a good kid. I call him a kid. He's a grown man. But when we interviewed him before the regular season started, you could just tell that he got it, right? And you look at what he was bringing from Auburn to the NBA. It was shot blocking ability. A guy averaging almost 5 blocks a game in college. Some of that's got to translate. You just don't know how much of that will based on his body type. But I really think it was maybe 10, 15 games in that I knew that he was going to be special in that sense of bringing that timing and that desire to be a good shot blocker from college to the NBA and being effective in a man's league. So, now, as he continued more and more making rookie mistakes, apologizing for them, and then doing that less and less and less, I'm thinking, wow, he's catching on pretty fast. And, you know, talking with Will Hardy and some of the other coaches and his teammates, they've given him a lot of that confidence as well. But in short answer, it didn't take me long to know he was going to be special in something in this league. And now he's really kind of exceeding my expectations.
So this is why I think Will Hardy is really good. I mean, obviously he's great as a coach, but he's really good in the media because he says things and I come away learning some things. And you as a player who played this game at this level, maybe you can share a little expertise on this as well. But he said something that I hadn't really thought of a couple weeks ago about his shot blocking ability, and said that he's good at going up with both hands. But a lot of people go up with a block shot, and they'll, you know, whatever hand they dominate. If you're right handed, you go up with the right hand. He said he can go equally with the left or the right hand, or go up with both hands. Just how rare is that skill? And is that something you're born with, or can you be coached up in that?
No, you're not born with it. And part of it's having the type of coach that is experienced enough to teach you how to do that. But I think even most of it comes from trial and error and instincts. Again, I think the block shot, the rejection, is one of the most exciting plays. Everybody loves the dunk, and a lot of guys can dunk, but not many guys can really be an expert at shot blocking. Now, a lot of that takes failure, right? It takes you get dunked on, and you know, you're going to lose some of those battles. But what I noticed about Walker is that doesn't faze him, right? He's ready for that challenge. But his ability to use that length, because he's tall, but he's so long and athletic in the sense that his timing is there, and he just has a sense. Sometimes it just takes that sense as a shot blocker to not just be, you know, right dominant or left dominant. And you see him go up sometimes with both hands, and all of a sudden he's tracking that ball, which is another important part. He's tracking that ball with his eyes, and whatever side it goes on, he uses that hand to deter, interfere with the shot in some way, or block it. And it's a technique that a lot of really good shot blockers never had. Mark Eaton wasn't like that. He blocked a lot of shots, but he wasn't the kind of guy who could track that ball and go with either hand.
The evolution of Lauri Markkanen, I mean, I think we all felt like he was a good player that the Jazz acquired, but I don't think any of us thought of him as an all-star. There's a sense, and Locke drops this line all the time, that you are who the back of your basketball card says that you are. But what we're seeing right now isn't what the back of Lauri Markkanen's basketball card said he was before he came here to Utah. Is this just the right player in the right scheme at the right time that's allowing him to put up these kind of numbers?
Well, Locke says that because it's all about numbers, right?
Yeah.
I love David, and I love arguing about some of these things. But sometimes when you've been in those shoes, in a sense, there's another part of this, which is Lauri Markkanen has worked just as hard or even harder than most guys in this league who become stars. But it's not just about that, right? It's about the recognition of what he can be. It's about the recognition of what that would look like in our system. It's the recognition of saying, you know what, man, I saw this guy in the Euro games, and he's got, why don't we put him in a position to where he can do a lot of those things with this team? And then after that, it's really up to him and developing to the type of player that he is. And part of that too is getting a cosign by your coach and your teammates to say, look, you know, we put this band together, but you're our lead singer, bro. Yeah. You know, you're the number one option. We understand what you have. I'm not sure you understand it all yet, but we want to put you in a position to understand what that means as far as this team goes. And Lauri has, you know, he's developed that. He's gotten the reassurance of this team that, God, dude, this is who you are. So go out and be you.
What's trade deadline like as a player, especially when you're hearing rumors about yourself, and then when you do get that phone call that you've been traded? What's emotionally, what is that like on a player? Because, you know, sometimes we don't really think about these guys as human beings, but the emotional toll that these next couple of weeks can take on a player.
Well, I lived it.
Yeah.
I lived it right here in Salt Lake City. And it's an interesting time because it's a distraction. It can be. But the part that probably I didn't understand was the business of basketball. I mean, I'm in Salt Lake City, and next year John came, and the next year Carl came. So, you know, we're building this dynasty. We're starting to win. We're making the playoffs. And after, you know, 8 years – I turned on the radio on my way home from practice and find out that a trade was made. And then I got home and my phone was ringing when I pulled into my garage. I could hear it ringing. It was Scotty Layton basically saying that I've been traded to Minnesota. And so it was crazy, because even before that, I wasn't really thinking. It wasn't a nerve-wracking time for me. I wasn't thinking about trading, being traded. It just happened, right? That's the business of basketball. And so my reaction was what it was, and I had to live with it and adjust to it. But nowadays, Scotty, when you have social media, you have everything that's going on, and you know, people are talking about rumors and this and that. It's got to be a lot more difficult. It really does. And trades aren't necessarily a bad thing if you understand the business of basketball. It means you're worth something. Teams think that you can come and help them win. And so you can't look at it in a negative way, but the bottom line is you can't really worry about it. What's going to happen is going to happen. You just go out and try to do your job and continue to, you know, to play on this team that has really been fun, I think, for all these guys.
Well, Big T, appreciate it, man. It's always fun catching up with you. Thanks for your time, and enjoy a couple days off. Hey, don't let Bowler puff out his chest too much about those Chiefs, though. He's going to be on cloud nine.
I'm on the bandwagon, too, man.
Really?
I'm a Chiefs guy.
Okay.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. But if he does, I'll puff mine up with him.
There you go. There you go. I love it. Thanks, Thurl.
All right, buddy.
Appreciate it.
Anytime.
Thurl Bailey on that Jazz broadcast right here on 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone. Coming up next, another edition of Whole World News right here on 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone.
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome
Unrivaled with Scott Mitchell and Alex Keery.
My question, though, Alex, is it really necessary? Does the Pac-12, I guess, do we believe that they go, okay, college football is going to expand, conference champions get in, and there are at-large bids, so there's the potential of having multiple teams from a conference
right.
get in. So does it help you or does it hurt you?
Well, so think about
financially or playing on the big dance, having more teams.
It's Unrivaled. Afternoons from 3 to 6. Presented by G2G Bars. Perfect for anyone who needs a quick, tasty, and nutritious boost. On 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. It's time to span the globe for the hard-hitting news you care about. Well, not really. But hey, at least we found it interesting. This is Whole World News on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
We've got the whole world in our hands.
You got the whole world in our hands. We've got the whole
Hans Olsen, Scott Girard, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. Time for another edition of Whole World News. Hey, are you a business owner? You have better things to do than to job hunt or scramble to find your next great hire? Let Sphereon Staffing and Recruiting do it for you. Visit them online at Sphereon.com. That's Sphereion. All right. Story time for Whole World News before we get to the actual story or news story itself. So I was once in our early start of the show, Hans and I sometimes will run into each other before or after the show, usually at a gas station, grabbing a drink or something like that. And anyway, Hans had this big frozen burrito that he had bought at the gas station and then put it into the gas station microwave. And I was like, you're really using that microwave? He's like, oh, yeah, what's the big deal? Which, you know, I'm sure it gets cleaned and stuff. So anyway, takes the microwave out, purchases it, and he's chomping down on this monstrous gas station burrito. That is something I have never done. Now, look, I am an aficionado when it comes to gas station snacks. Like, I am your man. But one thing I have never done is bought something frozen and put it into the gas station microwave. For some reason, I know we got a lot of good gas stations out there. I'm not knocking anybody. It just feels like that's a bridge too far for me in terms of gas station etiquette.
A lot actually, happening in that microwave.
Yeah, that microwave's it's seen some things. There's some stories there, right? So usually avoid the gas station microwave. Hans doesn't care. He's just fine with it. Which is probably
yeah, he
a good
lives
thing.
His life a little looser.
So now the story today is Malaysia, from Malaysia, And there was a tweet that came out earlier in the month of a, and I don't want to name the brand, but it is a gas station that's rather prevalent here in the United States and apparently is also over in Malaysia. So our good friends at Maverick, it's not you, not saying, because I don't think you have gas stations in Malaysia, but there is a chain of gas stations that involved several numbers that is over in Malaysia. This tweet has now been circulated and now has 2.2 million views because it is of a worker who is mopping the floor and also has microwave cleaning duties, takes the mop, opens the microwave, jams the mop into the microwave, and then takes it out and put and resumes cleaning the floor. That is how he wanted to clean the microwave. Obviously, that has not gone over well, as it has taken over social media to the point where the gas station place has had to release a statement that says, "We at would like to offer our sincerest apologies for the actions of one of our employees who failed to comply with our strict sanitation protocols. This is a clear violation, does not reflect the high standards that we strive to maintain in all of our stores. We understand the importance of maintaining a clean and safe environment for our customers, and we assure you that immediate action has been taken to ensure this does not happen again. We regret any inconvenience or concern this may have caused or any severe illnesses to anybody who used the microwave." I'm kidding on that last part. "If you require any further clarification, please not hesitate to contact us at blah, 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 blah. We appreciate your continued patronage." All right. Okay, number one, that's gross. But number two, if you do use the gas station microwave, that's on you. Like, come on.
Yeah, you're taking the risks. You're taking the risks that don't need to be taken. And that mop has cleaned the bathroom.
Yes, that mop has seen some things. Man. And he's just jamming that thing right into the microwave. Saying, "All right, swish it around a couple times, should be good. Maybe run a paper towel through it after we're done. All good." Look, I worked at a gas station. All right, I put myself through college, spending a couple of years, because radio wasn't going to pay the bills. So I worked at a radio station, and I worked at a 7-Eleven. Like, I know what goes on at a gas station.
You've been a part of some of those
things. I've been a part of it.
You've done those things.
I've done it. Don't use the microwave.
You've cleaned the microwave out with
although I did clean, when I cleaned the microwave, I did not use the mop. I did it very well.
Oh, okay. You did it how you're supposed to.
Everything was by the book. Outside of when the guy brought the big old bag of, I mean, the dude opened, bought a big bag of Fritos, didn't pay for it, proceeds to go over to the chili, dump a bunch of chili into it, have that little nacho cheese thing dispenser right, where you push the button in and the cheese. Yeah. So he fills up this Frito bag full of chili and cheese.
And getting chili and cheese all
everywhere,
over.
Everywhere. Spilling it all over. And then he stumbles up, because I think he's drunk, stumbles up to the counter, throws the bag on the counter and says, "Yeah, I need to pay for this." And I usually have my little scanner gun where I could like hit the barcode. And I'm like, "No, you make my life miserable, I'm going to make your life miserable." So I pick it up. My hands and my fingers are all jammed into his chili and cheese.
I mean, Hans thinks this guy's probably drinking too much.
Scans the thing. Wow.
You guys do it all to me all the time, and I'm going to start doing drive-bys on
that
you guys.
That was a drive-by
nonstop.
Right there. Holy
I'm
smokes.
I'm
going to
start doing drive-bys on you guys when you guys are out.
Wow. You really want us not to use any vacation time. So anyway, the guy gets upset because I'm essentially, you know, manhandling his chili cheese Fritos. I'm like, I don't
As
care.
As you should. You know what? You can't do that.
Pay for it first, yeah. Then go do your thing. Anyway, I actually enjoyed that job. That was a fun job.
Oh, that is disgusting.
Imagine walking up there and seeing some jabroni shoving that mop into that.
that is so disgusting.
Yeah. No bueno. All right. Coming up next, John Breach will join us. Really good NFL insider. He's got some insight on the Super Bowl, probably some anger issues considering Cincinnati's loss. We'll talk to him coming up next, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
She was tear-gassed and beaten.
Images of thousands desperate to escape Taliban oppression filled our news feeds. More than 80,000 Afghans made it to America. But the story didn't end there.
It was very cold. There was no power, no heat.
Who would help our newest neighbors? I'm Andrea Smartin. In Stranger Becomes Neighbor, you'll hear the stories of some remarkable refugees who left their homes and their dreams behind, only to start over from zero.
Their only possession was three blankets.
And you'll meet Americans who stepped up to help them.
You want me to come when you deliver your baby.
What can one person do in the face of an international disaster decades in the making? That's Stranger Becomes Neighbor. Find us at kslpodcast.com. Follow us on Apple Podcasts or anywhere else you listen.